This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Kristen Zekos joins me live in studio. She's a member of the Charlottesville City Council, currently serving her first term in office, and we are honored to have her here with us live in studio. How are you? It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Coy. I'm very well.
Yeah, so you'll be there, I guess, on Friday for the big event as Democrats turn out to get excited and whip out the vote for next Tuesday.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's actually the same date that Barack Obama was here in 2007. So it's a little reunion for us, and we're very excited to have him come and speak for Tom.
And you are, of course, supporting Tom Perriello, and you want to take a moment to let people know why you will be supporting him this year.
Well, I'll be supporting him for a variety of reasons. One is that I think that he's really one of the good guys. He's ethical, he's honest, he's hardworking, he's everything you want in a congressman. He always really searches his conscience before every vote, and I really appreciate that. I also happen to agree with him on a lot of issues, which is nice. Even when I don't agree with him, though, I respect his opinion.
Yeah. Now, I wanted you here to talk mainly about the water debate with the county, but we can pretty much talk about anything. And, listeners are welcome to join this conversation at any time. 977-1070 is the phone number. And of course, we won't force you to talk about water. I know you probably want to talk about anything, but we really have entered a phase here, if I understand it right, where it's sort of moved into sort of internal negotiations between members of City Council and members of the Board of Supervisors and their staff as they sort of try to forge a way forward in what has become a terrific public debate over arguably the biggest proposed public works project in generations. We can talk specifics as we move forward, but what are your initial thoughts?
Well, you're right. It is at the point of negotiations now. And so I'm a little reluctant to kind of, dig into any particular positions, saying that those are my position. I'd never move from them because I think that we really need to be in kind of a negotiating stance right now. But I will say that last year when the city and county kind of ratified their agreement to the overall idea of this plan, the city did so with some reservations, and they wanted more information. They wanted more information about whether the current dam was safe, whether dredging was feasible, and what the actual need for water would be 50 years out. And so we've gotten that information in the meantime, and that data has caused the city to rethink some of the details of the plan, not the plan itself. And we were unanimous in our support of the overall framework of the water plan. We're just looking at the possibility of having a lower dam with the possibility of combination with dredging. And those are things that the county would rather not do. And so we're at the point now where we have to figure out, how we work out this plan that we have to do together.
Yeah. I've been struck, and I've shared this many times on this program, I have been struck by the fact that we've seen such an explosion of stereotypes, that here we have these, progressive liberals in the city of Charlottesville, these quote-unquote big government, government plan liberals, tax and spend liberals, but you're the ones who've been standing up and taking the leadership and saying, well, wait a minute, we don't necessarily want this big, huge, expensive plan. Let's do some research, get some more facts, and figure out, are there opportunities to save money? Are there opportunities to not do something so big that's going to cost the public so much money and perhaps raise water rates substantially?
Well, that's precisely it. It's an economic issue, and it does feel kind of funny to be the sort of save and not spend Democrats in this case. But I think that in a way that the Charlottesville ratepayers constitute all of the residents of Charlottesville, and so we really, just the same way that we're responsible to our taxpayers, we're responsible to our ratepayers. And we need to give this as much due diligence as we can.
Yeah. Now, my read on this from the very beginning, when we first started talking about this years ago, when, as early as, when I saw Rich Collins sort of pushed out of the water board, the one guy who was standing up saying, let's preserve the resources we have, let's dredge for water. My reading has been that there really is a significant growth lobby in the county that has been pushing for this big plan. And the end result will be that the ratepayers, most of whom are in Charlottesville, who have to pay for their water, are in a sense being asked to subsidize the growth in the county. And I'm not saying growth is bad. I'm not making, that's another issue for another day. I'm just observing just that fact that we have so many who are proponents of growth in the county who make their money off of growth, whether developers or realtors. This is the plan they want, this big 50-year water supply plan. The only problem is it really requires significant public investment to subsidize this private development on the part of many business owners in the county.
Well, that's true. And to be fair, I will say that there are also people who support the full water plan who are not pro-growth business people. They're people who are environmentalists who are very concerned about the health of the rivers. And they are convinced that that plan is the most likely to guarantee the health of the rivers if there is this kind of growth. So they're not necessarily promoting growth, but they believe that there will be growth. So, you know, I don't want to mischaracterize all the folks who are for it.
Fair enough.
I don't agree with them on that point. But that's
And tell me why. Because, I mean, while you're saying that, I'm thinking, well, this plan does do some nice things for the Mormons, but at the expense of the Ravana further downstream.
Well, I think that because we're looking at different demand numbers now, I don't think that it's going to be an either or. I really feel that there is room, some wiggle room, some room for compromise in the plan.
Yeah. We're talking with Kristen Zekos, a member of the Charlottesville City Council. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Kristen, the county is sending out what they're calling a white paper, a fact sheet regarding the proposed 50-year water supply plan to all taxpayers, you know, not just the water ratepayers, but even folks on wells in the county, and clearly trying to make an effort. It's a PR effort to sell their plan to the taxpayers in the county. I had Dee Dee Smith on last week, and we went point by point looking at that paper. And tell us now, your criticism of that paper has been made public. But give us the backstory to that and share your thoughts on it.
Well, yeah, I was really dismayed to see this happening. I had thought that that we were planning to negotiate pretty much in good faith over some slight differences in our approach to this plan. And to have one party to those negotiations send out something basically saying that the other side is full of beans, as I think counterproductive. In the first item that they said, you know, that they want to replace the existing unsafe Ragged Mountain Dam. Well, studies have now shown that it's not an unsafe dam. The spillway needs repair, but the dam itself is not unsafe. And so right in their first paragraph, there's a misstatement of fact, and I think that that's a real problem.
Yeah, so there is a certain level of disingenuousness in this document, you think?
Well, I wouldn't want to go to the motive of it, but I was dismayed to see it.
Yeah. What about the claim on the parts of the proponents of the big plan, the 50-year plan, that say they wouldn't have to raise rates? It says in that document, we wouldn't have to raise rates to build the dam, but that makes no mention of the pipeline or all the other work that needs to be done to actually have a working reservoir. Just because you build a dam doesn't mean you've got a working reservoir.
Well, I think all of those other pieces are things that the two parties agree on. Whether it raises rates or not, I think is still a point of dissent. But I think that those are things that we have, you know, that over the course of several years, the city has agreed to. We had unanimous agreement to that on this one, too.
Yeah. So what were your thoughts? We're talking with Kristen Zekos, a member of Charlottesville City Council. What were your thoughts about the recent blog post by Neil Williamson at the Free Enterprise Forum, which has, you know, been the voice of conservative principles and business principles here in the community for the last few years, and yet his suggestion to possibly remedy this debate was eminent domain, that the county explore the idea of seizing the property of the citizens of Charlottesville, the reservoirs, and moving forward from there.
Well, fortunately, it's a moot point because a locality can't use eminent domain against another locality. So, I kind of wish that he had researched that before saying it, but it was a little startling.
But and flesh that out for me. It really is interesting, and I was dumbfounded, to be honest, when I read it. I was absolutely dumbfounded that the Free Enterprise Forum, the conservative forum, would recommend eminent domain, the seizing of property, to move forward with this plan. That they absolutely wanted this so bad that they would consider something like that. As you point out, it's moot, it's impossible, but still. The debate has reached this point where they would go that far.
Well, you know, I think in the course of history, not just locally but nationally, a lot of the biggest takings by eminent domain have been by people who were Republicans and conservatives. For all the the talk about small government and individual liberties are you know, from whether it was highways or you know, urban renewal, ripping out entire neighborhoods. Those, you know, things have been done over the course of time under the auspices of eminent domain that I certainly wouldn't get behind.
Yeah, and mostly this is efforts on the part of business interests who are using the power of government to profit.
Sure.
Yeah. We're talking with Kristen Zekos here live in studio. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Don't want to stay on water the whole time because I know there's other things that you would love to talk about and that at the end of the day you'd probably love to talk about anything but water. But before we leave the subject, what are your goals in this process? As one of the people who is at the table, really contributing in a significant way to this ongoing conversation that has been going on for years about how we figure out how we supply water to members of this community moving forward over the next few decades.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot.
Like
Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.
Out a way that we can move forward together. It'll be interesting. I think it'll probably be during this council that we move together on some really key joint efforts that you know have been that seemed impossible a few years ago. And you know they may not be joint efforts that I'm entirely in support of. The dam and the you know, whether it's a tiny dam or a huge dam and the Meadow Creek Parkway. But I think that we are looking at kind of moving beyond those places where we're sort of fighting with each other into areas where we can work together.
Yeah. We have seen, though, that in regards to some of those other issues, that some of the voices in the county have, I don't want to say threatening, that might be too strong a word, but I guess you get my point. They've sort of been, in responding to the water debate, sort of taking that concern and animosity over to some of the other areas that are currently seeking some type of cooperation.
You know, in any relationship, when you get into an argument, you start pulling up the old dirty laundry and all the other stuff you're still mad about from 2 years ago. And I think that's sort of happening now.
Yeah. We're talking with Kristen Zekos, a member of the Charlottesville City Council. So what else is going on in the city that you are particularly focused on that's front burner for you?
Well, one thing that's coming up, and I wish I could give you a date, we're still working it out, is our town meeting. One of the things that I had really pushed for as I was running for council, and I'm delighted is actually happening, is neighborhood-based city council meetings. We've had two. We had one at Tonsler Park and one at the Mary Williams Center and the Woolen Mills. And we're having another one at the Carver Recreation Center in November. And it's really a chance for people in the neighborhood and beyond to come and talk to all the city council members. We are all there. We bring all the department heads, including the chief of police, the fire chief, all of the department heads from within City Hall, and they can answer questions. We take complaints. We have, you know, people can voice creative ideas for how things should be done in the city. And it's really a chance to listen to the folks who can't necessarily make it down to a city council meeting. We serve dinner. We have childcare so that anybody can come. And we had really good turnout in the last two, and I'm really excited about
it. Literally government in your neighborhood.
Literally government in your neighborhood.
Taking it to people's front stoops, you know.
Well, and literally the neighborhood coming to government to tell us what to do.
Yeah. Now, what are you hearing from people when this happens? When you take these city council meetings out into the neighborhoods, is there a general theme that's bubbling up from some of the neighborhoods?
Well, one theme has been that people say it's about time, that they really are glad that we're coming out hitting the streets and talking to people. But I think some of the issues are very local, whether it's a speed bump on a particular street or an area that doesn't have sidewalks or adequate lighting or an area that has poor drainage that we might not realize. But some of it is more general, ways that the city can do a better job of reaching out to people, ways that the city can do a better job of communicating with residents in an area where a project is planned, for instance, and just some really good ideas about how we can do that.
Yeah. Would love to see the county do something like that. Wouldn't it be so neat to see the county holding Board of Supervisors meetings in Crozet or at, you know, one of the elementary schools and getting out into some of these communities? I mean, the county's 700 square miles, and what a wonderful opportunity to to get out of downtown and to do that. I think it's a great model.
Thanks. I'm really hoping that this will be a model for other localities in the area, because I think it's really effective. It's not only are we sending the message that we want to hear from people, but we're hearing things that we wouldn't otherwise hear, and that's really important.
Yeah. What else is going on?
Let's see what else is going on. Well, I can give you just a couple of upcoming dates, since I know that the mayor was not able to come yesterday and he might have brought these. One is that the Smith Aquatic Center just opened up. I went to the grand opening and got to help cut the
all-new aquatic center,
right? It is really amazing. And the prices are higher than they used to be to go to Smith Pool, but there are this whole sliding scale. And so the hope is that nobody will be kept from swimming there because of finances. It's really their monthly rates, their yearly rates, their discount rates. And so I'm really hoping that people will check it out. There's also grand illumination when we light the downtown Christmas tree, which I believe we don't have yet, on November 19th at 6. I went last year.
Well, that's soon. That's
and just... our voter registrar, Sherry Ayashetta, sings, and she's phenomenally good.
Yeah, yeah.
And sings all sorts of Christmas songs, and everyone sings along, and it's really fun.
Good stuff. Kristen Zekos is a member of the Charlottesville City Council. And we've enjoyed her live in studio. Thank you for being here, and come back. We'd love to have you.
Well, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.